are now listening to another episode of the Self-Aware Millennial Podcast, where we normalize getting uncomfortable. I am your host of many hats, J-Mix, and on this episode, I'm going to be discussing some uncomfortable things, some embarrassing stories to get y'all through the week. So before we get into that, I wanted to give some quick announcements. One, thank y'all so much for giving me grace and space to rest up and get these episodes out to you when I can. Last month was such a busy and productive month for me artistically, like wonderfully. It was so great. And I was not expecting it. And it just gave me no time to even work on this podcast, unfortunately. But I had so many consistent gigs, photo shoots and like music projects that I was a part of. And on top of that, the Self-Aware Millennial team has been working behind the scenes to launch our first round of merch in the coming weeks. So y'all know when I'm silent, I'm up to something. The second announcement I wanted to make is that my latest singles, if you have not heard, Let's Go and NRE are out on all the music streaming services. Let's Go is a sensual, chill pop R&B ballad that encourages evolutionary activities, if you know what I mean. And NRE is the acronym for New Relationship Energy. If you're just joining us for the first time, you know nothing about non-monogamy and polyamory. NRE means New Relationship Energy, aka the honeymoon phase, aka butterflies, situations, and all that. It's a fancy way of saying that time in the moments of your relationships with somebody that you are starting to like when you actually start to maybe start to fall in love with them. That's what NRE is. It's like that between stage where you're like, is this something that I want to pursue? Like, what are these feelings? What are these butterflies? And anyway, those singles are out. I'm really proud of them. And I'm just going to be real with y'all, like, and I'm going to actually talk about this on my Patreon very soon. I'm doing an episode about this very soon. I'm going to dive into why I decided to produce these songs. And some people already know about this because I've been talking to people about this like in person, but I really think my Patreon community deserves to know. So if you feel like going on Patreon and listen to all that, it'll be up in the next day or so when this episode premieres. So, my third announcement is that I had a low last week, and that lasted around 5 days or so. It had manifested from a series of racially charged conversations, disagreements, whatever you want to call it, that I had with several white male followers and friends of mine that I personally was just not ready to have without my emotions taking over me. Because when we talk about race, and I'm a Black woman, like, it's so hard for anyone that is actually like living through it as the person that is being like, that is being discriminated against, or the people that look like them. Like, it's so hard for us not to stick into our logical sense. It is very easy for us to get emotional about these things, and for a good reason. But it's hard talking to male followers and male friends sometimes. I'm sorry, male white followers that don't necessarily understand, or how can I put this best? How can I say this best? It's hard to talk to them because I know at least in certain elements of their lives, they'll never understand what it's like to be a Black woman. They'll never understand what it's like to be Black. They won't never understand how it feels to be marginalized. And I feel like all the white men that are listening to this right now are probably like, I've been marginalized, but okay. But it's just in a different way. You know, you'll never, the way that the system is set up, and even like the, okay, sorry y'all. Cause I'm thinking about this conversation that I had, and like every little bit of things that I was saying, I was being questioned about. So I would say the system is set up against me and it's working for you. And they're like, so what's the system? Tell me what the system is. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it's so hard for me to get to a place where I can stay logical and like discuss and, you know, argue my points with a white man. But I'm actually going to talk about that in a later episode. I just wanted to let y'all know that that was where my low had kind of centered from. And since then, the conversations that I've had have been a lot better, and I have overcome that, and I've understood like where it's coming from. And that's why for the next bit of episodes that I have, or shoot, maybe even like the rest of the episodes I have from here on out, I want to preface my episodes with this quote. Where would our society be if we could have uncomfortable conversations without our emotions getting the best of us? Because I would love to have conversations with people that I'm uncomfortable having conversations with. But my problem is that I know my emotions will usually always get the best of me. And I cannot necessarily think logically. I can't even be in the conversation, in the moment, as presently as I would like to because of those emotions. And I kind of couple that also to like when I'm not on Zoloft, like right now, it's very easy. Before I started taking Zoloft, as I said in the last episode, it was very easy for me to think of like one negative thought or like have one negative thought and that just kind of like trail and it would just linger for days and days and days and days. And I could not focus on anything else but that negative thought. And when I was on Zoloft, I was like, it would just be a passing thought. It would go away. So I'm trying to achieve that without taking Zoloft. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. So yeah, for my next few episodes, and I'm hoping that the person that I spoke with will want to come on this episode and like actually have this conversation with me, because my thing is, it's like, I don't mind talking to white men. I don't mind talking to white people. I don't mind talking to white women. I don't mind talking to anybody about this stuff. But like when it's the way that it's approached to me, and I don't necessarily like being considered like accessible to having these conversations at every point in the day about race, like when you're ready, like I have to be ready too. Anyway, sorry, that was long, but I hope y'all understand where I'm coming from. And I'm hoping in the next couple of episodes that I'll be able to have more of these uncomfortable conversations with people. I want to really hone into discussing just uncomfortable things, things that we don't like to discuss, things that we shy away from, things that can be emotionally triggering. I know I'm like going to, I know it's kind of dangerous possibly, but I think that's why when I speak to my guests before I prompt them, before we come on, I'm like, yo, are you okay with talking uncomfortably? Sometimes consent is all you really need in order to dive into that place. And, you know, and sometimes it doesn't always work out, but you know, we prepare ourselves for this beforehand. And what helps with that is consent. Cool. Well, let's get into the actual topic. I'm going to be talking today about my embarrassing stories. But before I discuss four of my embarrassing stories I have prepared for y'all, I wanted to reflect on when I have participated in embarrassing or making fun of others, because I am not a perfect being. And not that I can necessarily remember a lot of the times that I have embarrassed others or have made fun of others, but there's been a few that have stuck out in the duration of my life, mostly my childhood. And I think that's very interesting that we see it, or at least I see it more from when I was younger versus when I'm older. And I feel like there probably has been times where I have made fun of someone when I was older. And if you are listening to this podcast and you know that I've done that to you, I would love for you to like say that to me. Like, DM me. I don't care. Like, let me know. You embarrass me here. And like, let me know, because I want to know what I did. I want to know like how I could be better. I want to know if I've ever done that to you. I just want to know, because the thing about like, we usually try to forget things that we feel have make us a bad person. We don't normally like to hold on to stuff like that. And I think that's part of our response to like how people respond to trauma in ways that they just like automatically forget that it actually happened. Or like when people like, I mean, this is a really big example or crazy example, but like, let's say when people like try, like they're killing somebody and like they don't realize that they've done it until like the blood is already all over their hands and they see all the things they've done, but like they literally black out and then their conscience comes back up and they're like, whoa, what did I just do? Anyway, to trail back to what I was talking about, I'm thinking about times that I've embarrassed other people. I only can really think about two instances. And I don't even know if it's like embarrassed. I don't know if I've embarrassed them or anything, but I feel like I participated in them feeling embarrassed, if you know what I mean. So I'm going to talk about first my youngest sister. She grew up with ADD, I believe. And our family is ruthless in the ways in which they talk about, you know, people that are either slow or they say like retarded. They would say these words like just nonchalantly as I was growing up. And, you know, I'd never thought about it at that point, how like detrimental that can be to a growing child. But like, these were things that we would be called, or like, you know, folks around us in our communities would like refer to us as sometimes. And I know my sister, she had like developmental issues when she was growing up, and our family, I should say, did not make it any better. I know that there was one instance, moment in time where, you know, everybody would kind of catch on to something that was happening. Like, we would have a conversation about something that, you know, just almost common knowledge, like one plus one is two sort of situation. Everybody would be like, yeah, yeah, one plus one is two. And then like my sister would be like, wait, what? I don't get that. And then people would just like, including myself, we would just be like, oh, well, you know, I can't believe you don't understand this, da, 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 da. But one of the things that they started doing, and I don't know if I actually participated in this, I think I just started laughing at this with them, but we would make, y'all have heard of the unavailable dial tone sound. It's like, do, do, do. We're sorry. Da, 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 is not that sound, like a do, do, do. Anytime that, let's say we were all together and we were saying something and my sister didn't understand it, someone would go do, 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 and everybody would just start laughing. And that was like so embarrassing for her. And now that I think about it, I'm like thinking back on, I'm like, dang, like that is something that will make a child feel like there's something wrong with them when there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. They're just developmentally, they are just not quite there yet, but they're going to catch up. And I think that's the other thing. Like, we think about children and how they all like, even like when, oh my gosh, and I'm so happy I'm not a parent just yet, but I know even some other parents, they're just like, they just wish that their children are born healthy, that they are born with like, you know, a good mind that they can easily develop and like not have any development issues like growing up like with the rest of the kids at their age. Because, and that's another thing about like just the world and where we live in society, like we are birthing workers. We are birthing people to work and just continue our working class spectrum. Anyway, sorry, going back into what I was saying, my sister, from that point on, like I remember her being like really upset when we would laugh at her or laugh at that, you know, unavailable dial tone sound every time somebody would do it. And now that I look and I think about like I have some twin nephews that are also just their development is a little slow, which is fine because we still love them and they are still learning in their own ways, but it's just different. It's not the same as some other kids that I know that are their age. And that's okay. Cause I mean, I don't know. I feel like this world in general, it's okay to not be the same. We don't have to have the same linear paths to learning the same thing. And I just wanted to discuss that for a little bit. I think on my end, I think I was very cognizant of that very early and very aware that this was something that did not, like this person, my sister, was not happy that people kept doing this. And it just kept like spreading around. It just kept going and going. And I don't think it happens anymore. Like she's thriving. Like she's doing all of the pictures and all of like she has like so much things going for her right now. And I just wanted to give her a quick shout out. She's a photographer, OLM photography. I'll put the information in my notes, but she is just like skyrocketing with her photography business. She's had it for over 10 years since she was like 15 years old. And she also runs a business for skincare called I Love My Mix. And I've been using those products on my face and it's cleared my face up so much. I've been meaning to actually do a mini episode or a video on Instagram about that, but I just have not gotten around to it. But my face has cleared up in the last couple of months since I've been taking it. And y'all know I've been dealing with maskne and just like acne and from, I'm not even sure. I think it might be a hormonal imbalance or it might be just, you know, for me wearing masks a lot. But I never had this problem up until, you know, last year, about fall in the pandemic, like I just started breaking out. But anyway, shout out to my sister. She's doing great. The second thing I wanted to talk about, embarrassing story wise, that has everything to do with me embarrassing others. I know that when I was in school, elementary school to be exact, by the way, I went to St. Anthony of Padua, which is a private school here in the city of New Orleans. And I don't think they're actually any, they're no longer in like business there. It's like another school now. But anyway, schools are just ruthless, man. I mean, like this is probably something that happened with everybody at some point. There was always that one or two people in the class that people would just pick on for whatever reason. I know I got picked on too, but there was just like a couple of people that just everybody picked on, or they just, I don't know exactly why. Actually, I know one person. Okay. I'm not going to even say, I guess I can say first names, but I'm not going to say last names. But there was one guy named Craig, and Craig, I think, had a very well-known father who was like a judge or something in the city or whatever. But like this judge was not well-liked in the city, I guess, like their reputation was not all that hot. So I guess that kind of trickled down into like the ways in which the kids at school treated this person. And every time this person would come around, like just like, let's say we're all in a group of like us just chilling by the water fountain or whatever. And this person will walk up and like, or run up to us wanting to play. Everybody would scatter and just like run away. And they'd be like, ooh, you know, like, and like, I think back onto that. And I know I was just kind of following along and playing along because I was like, oh, we have to run away from this person. We have to stay away from this person because, you know, of whatever reason. I thought about that and I was like, dang, like, if that were me, like, I would be so sad because I wouldn't, like, I would, like, I'm a sociable person. I want to play with people. Sorry, that kind of sounded very sexual. Anyway, but no, like I like being around people, and I know, and I've talked about this in past episodes where I use school as an escape from my home life because I was at points getting abused, and school was like kind of like that outlet where I could be more myself and I would feel safe and everything. So I could only imagine this person, Craig, that had these issues like pretty much throughout the entirety of the time that they were at my school or at our elementary school, which was probably, I think, from like kindergarten up till, I don't know, seventh grade or something like that. And I don't know, y'all. I feel bad that I participated in that. I think I remember one specific time back in like sixth or seventh grade where I was sitting with my friends at the lunch table and Craig was coming by, passing by in the back. And I think I had like, so I was sitting like across from like two of my friends that were across from me and they like said something about Craig as he was walking past. And I remember they said something along the lines of like, I just don't get like how he's like always so happy, da 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 da, or I just don't like, they were saying something that counteracted like how he carried himself no matter like what, like everybody was, because the ways everybody was still treating him at this point, like he was used to everybody treating him that way. And he just got used to it. He was still like a happy-go-lucky person, at least from our perspective. And I think what was happening in this small little interaction that I had with my friends, they were just saying, you know, like, I don't know how he goes through it without, like, you know, he's like so happy right now. Anyway, I remember looking back at him. He was like coming with his lunch tray, walking behind me or in front of me. I can't remember all the details, but he just looked so happy. His face was like, so he was smiling, and he was going to sit with like his other friends that most of us would have considered loners at the point, because he wanted to be around people that were also, you know, getting made fun of by the popular crew or whatever. But he was walking over towards them, and he was just so happy to be with them. And I think at that point, I felt very empathetic for Craig, because I was like, well, he's actually very happy right now, and we're the ones that are treating him like he isn't worthy of being happy.
Who's got a Patreon? I've got a Patreon. Come join the Patreon to be a Patreon. Bonus content every week. $5 is all you need. Come join the place where I spill the tea on my self-aware discoveries. From sex and non-monogamy to depression and anxiety. T-Sam is here to give you glee, entertainment, love, and clarity. If you're all cut up, don't know where to go, join my Patreon to stay in the know.
Who's got a Patreon?
I've got a Patreon.
Come join the Patreon
to be my Patreon. Join my Patreon to stay in the know. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
That changed my perspective of who he was. I don't remember having many I've had conversations with him throughout my time at my elementary school, but I wouldn't say that I had any meaningful conversations with him from an ego standpoint. And you know what? I could be wrong. I have a lot of friends that listen to this podcast that went to my elementary school, and they could probably affirm that I either did or I didn't, or what they possibly did. Because for some reason, I had the best memory of my time in elementary school up until I got to college. And then all of a sudden, it all went away. But I have friends of mine that I was with in elementary school that still remember so many more things than I do. Anyway, so Craig, shout out to you. I also wanted to talk about another girl that I don't know anybody remembers. Her name was Giselle, but it was almost the same thing. She had like a mental impediment of some sort where the ways in which she talked, she didn't always talk in like full sentences, but she would have a lot of tantrums like during school. And you know, everybody just kind of thought that she was weird because she was doing this in the way, like she wasn't able to really speak to people, but the way she was able to communicate was through other ways. I don't even know how to describe it, y'all, but I know that right now because we are so far developed now, we know for sure Giselle had some sort of mental health discrepancy. And I don't know, like they treated her also like there was something wrong with her. And I just remember because she had the mental problems throughout. And I say mental problems, meaning like in terms of early development stages for children, we normally like to categorize kids by how well they can speak by the time they're 2 years old, 3 years old, and how they can read or like write or count their numbers and everything. And, you know, we say otherwise, if they aren't doing that, then, oh, they are totally underdeveloped. And, you know, that's not going to be good for them in the future, da, 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 which we should not be thinking about it that way. But anyway, Giselle, I also just remember having that same aura about her. She wasn't at the school for very long, maybe 2 to 3 years from like maybe kindergarten to like second grade. And then she left. But I just remember her being treated kind of like we treated Craig, very outcasty, very, you know, like, you know, just treating them like they're not human, but like they like we're better than them, and we're not. We're just, the ways in which we were able to develop are completely different than the ways that they are able to be developed. And a lot of that sometimes trails from living in households that are abusive. Sometimes that trails from, I know that, at least in my instance, from what I've experienced in my life, I've noticed that kids that are normally a little bit more difficult with like learning abilities and like, you know, having like disabilities and everything, that normally sometimes happens when their parents are older. They're like, you know, like they are born to older parents, and there's just more complications when you're older and you're trying to have a child. So I noticed sometimes that's normally the case, but that's not always the case. I'm just saying, like, in my instances of where I've seen a lot of that fall into, usually the parent is older than a usual parent that is like trying to raise a child at that time period. So anyway, Giselle, I don't even remember Giselle's last name, but shout out to Giselle. I hope she's doing good. Shout out to Craig. I hope he's doing good. And shout out to my sister, Olivia. All right, it's time for some embarrassing stories. So I thought about four that happened within the duration of my childhood up till now. And I know these aren't all the embarrassing stories that I have, but they're the ones that I've thought about that were like on the top of my head that I could easily be like, oh yeah, this did happen. And that was kind of embarrassing. And I found that I don't always get embarrassed for things, because I was like thinking of other instances in my life that have happened. I'm like, no, that wasn't embarrassing. That was just, I was just really annoyed here. Da, 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 da. Like I was thinking of different emotions, but like the times I truly felt like I felt embarrassed, I wanted to share this with y'all. So the first one I have is, I'm going to just categorize these the ways in which I kind of titled them. So the first one, the first embarrassing story that I can remember was when I sneezed on a basketball during a game of basketball that I was playing with some girls that were in my elementary school. I think I might have been in like sixth grade or something like that at this point. Maybe it was fifth grade. I don't know. But all I can remember was that I wasn't even playing basketball that well. And I would say that the girls that I were playing with were very, some of them have made fun of me. Some of them were picking on me throughout my time at the elementary school. But some of them also just had like this very like popular girl attitude sort of situation. So like I felt like I was trying to prove myself or like be included, being inclusive in this group. So like I was trying to play basketball really well, whatever, trying to like pass the ball, dribble, and try to shoot and everything. And all I can remember is that like the game had to stop because I sneezed on the basketball. And all I can remember, there was this one girl named Kelly, and all I can remember her doing was saying, she was like, ew, ew. And like I remember feeling so embarrassed because I sneezed on this basketball. Okay, I should also mention that I sneezed on the basketball and snot was everywhere. Like, I think I may have either had a cold or something, because like it was bad. Like I sneezed and like the snot was all over the basketball. Anyway, I felt so embarrassed on that point, to the point that I still remember it today. Like, and that happened over at this point 20 years ago. So that happened. The second embarrassing story I have, this one, and I should also mention these more elementary time embarrassing stories are a little bit more shorter because they're a little further removed from my memory, because it hasn't happened as more recent, if that makes sense. So this second one was also from around that time, but I was also in Girl Scouts. Shout out to Troop 440. But also, I think it was like 235, 275. I was a brownie, and then I was a Girl Scout. Anyway, I was on a Girl Scout trip. I think we went to San Antonio, and we just went there to visit like Fiesta, Texas, which was like the Six Flags out there. And then we also like visited the Alamo. It was a Girl Scout vacation. That's what it felt like. So we were all in like different rooms. Like we would have like our troop leader, which was usually an adult, which was usually a mother of one of the brownie or Girl Scout
girls that were with, that we were with. And I remember it was like me and like maybe two or three other girls and the mother or the troop leader. And I don't remember every little detail about this, but I think what happened was, it was either before we were about to leave to head back to New Orleans or something. And I remember, I think I used the restroom and I like stopped the toilet up and I didn't tell anybody because I was afraid to get, you know, I didn't do well with discipline back then. As y'all know, I got abused, and usually I got abused as a child, like through doing bad things. So like, I now have associated with like doing something bad, meaning that like something bad's going to happen to me. Like there will be a reaction. Like I will get hit. I will get X, Y, and Z. Like I will be verbally abused. I will be physically abused if I do X, Y, and Z. So I think I had done something where like I stopped the toilet up. I don't know if I had just started like my period at that point or what, because I was young when I got my first period, or I don't even remember. All I remember is that I didn't say anything for a while. And I was just like, okay, I'm just, maybe someone else will just fix it. Like when they go in, they'll fix it. And like, it won't, you know, maybe I'll just be in the clear. No one's going to ask me or whoever, you know, who did it. So I remember being asked by this troop leader closer to like before we left for New Orleans. They asked me, they were like, you know, did you do this? And I just remember being like embarrassed. And I believe I probably just kept saying no, even though like in my face, I was like, yeah, it was me. But like my embarrassment of it all, I was just like, no, it wasn't me. Da, 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 da. But I remember her face in particular, because she was kind of like, I remember her being like upset. Like she looked like she was like on the verge of being mad or like angry because I wasn't telling the truth or something. I don't remember all the details. All I know is that I was embarrassed, so I never said that I did it or not. And that was that. So that was my second story. The third story, for some reason, I remember this one like it was yesterday. This is the one that made me kind of prompt to do this whole episode. This third one was when I was in high school, freshman year of high school. So around this time in my life, I was like 11, 12, 13 years old at this point. This would be like maybe 2-3 years after I got my first period. And so like my body, I'm just like not really having it with my body right now, because like it's different than everybody else. And I don't know, like I guess my habits from when I was younger than I was at that point just don't always necessarily, they don't coincide now. So what was happening at this point was I wasn't taking many showers and I wasn't taking many baths either. I didn't like to take baths because I was a bigger girl and I just didn't like just sitting in the tub that we had at my house. It wasn't the best of tubs. I didn't like the rust that was around the tub. I would be more inclined to take a shower, to take a bath, if it was a clean setting, but it wasn't. So I didn't know that then, but I know this now. So in freshman year of high school, I'm pretty sure I just never washed my clothes for like weeks on end, I think. And I remember I smelled a lot. I smelled, y'all. I smelled a whole lot. And like my friends, none of them really like told me about this. They kind of accepted me the way I was. But I know now, I'm like, dang, like I must have been stinking so much, but no one ever said anything, or maybe just didn't realize it. Anyway, I had a very embarrassing realization about this because, I was actually pulled into the guidance counselor's office one day, just randomly. It was so random. I was like, why am I being brought into the guidance counselor's office? And they were just like, they basically told me that someone has reported that I stink. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, that was kind of embarrassing. But now, like, I'm going around school thinking, oh my gosh, who's told the guidance counselor that I stink, because like I'm like now, like I was so conscious of it, and like I was smelling myself, and I was smelling like I thought, oh, like I smell myself, I know what I smell like, and it's not the best, but I guess nobody else smells it, and so like I just never thought of that other people could smell it. So anyway, I finally realized who it was, because within that same day they came up to me and they were like, are you okay? Are you doing all right? Like, they just kept checking in on me. And no, shoot, I'm gonna just say it. Shout out to Danielle McCarthy, because Danielle McCarthy was the one who said that. And I really appreciated what she did at the time. Because after that point, like, I literally cared about my hygiene. Until that point, I did not. And I was honestly, like, also, I was a very, like, I was a tomboy, y'all. I still technically am. I have tomboy-esque tendencies. I really don't like to categorize myself as a tomboy, but like at that point we would like to categorize ourselves in ways in which to saying that we are tomboys. Anyway, shout out to Danielle McCarthy. I was a funky freshman. I was a funky freshman everything before that too, but as for my other friends, I never said anything. Like, it's fine. I get it. But like, y'all know that I was stinking, and I'm happy that Danielle McCarthy came to the rescue and, you know, set me straight in nicest of ways through someone else. And someone else told me about myself. I even remember my mom, like, that same evening was like, she kind of like pulled me to the side and we talked about it for a little bit. And that was that. And now, like, y'all, like, I smell good all the time. Like, I smell so good all the time. But I got like perfumes, I got deodorants, and you know, like my hygiene is so much better than it was back in high school. But you know, we have all those moments. So that was my embarrassing story from freshman year. My last one is from when I was actually last week. And it was kind of funny too. I posted this on my Instagram, but to try to make it short, I'll try to make it short. I was doing a skate dance jam situation at Skate Country, which is where I go skate here in the city. And we were doing a move. We were doing like the downtown, which is a jam skate move or whatever. And there's like a whole bunch of people to my left. And I'm right next to the person that is like facilitating the dance, like giving us the numbers and telling us what to do, teaching us what to do. And, you know, we're doing the thing. What I'm wearing, however, is like this white halter, and the halter ties in the back. On the neck in the back, if that makes sense. So it's a halter top that ties at the neck in the back. So in order for it to stay up, it has to be tied tightly around the neck. If it's loose, then other things can happen. But y'all see exactly what happened to me in a moment. So we're doing the downtown, right? And I'm doing my thing, you know, somehow. And I have another friend of mine on the right side of me. Everybody's basically on the left, but like there's like maybe one or two people on the right. And basically what happens is it was a little loose. My little thing that was tied around my neck was a little loose, and we were trying to do a specific move in the downtown, and guess what? My whole right titty popped out, and my friend on the right got a chance to see it exposed. And I'm sure there was a lot of people in that roller rink last week, and I'm very, 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 very certain that more people saw it. But I remember his reaction the most. And I'm not going to say any names on this person because I'm still kind of embarrassed about it. Even though I have already told some of my friends about it and they know who it is. But like, all I can tell y'all is that, okay, I'm gonna describe him. No, he's like he's an older white man. He's about my dad's age. And he has a wife and everything, wife and kids and everything. And all I can say is that his face was just so priceless. And I put it back in like really quickly. And then I was just like, you didn't see anything. And it's already so loud in there, so you don't even know if they heard you even say that, because everybody's wearing masks, second off. Like, it's so easy to just not be able to, like, speak to people unless you have to take your mask off, because the music's already so loud. So, yeah, y'all, my titty popped out on the middle of the roller rink while I was roller skating last week. And I find it more funny than embarrassing, but I found it a little embarrassing in the moment. But then I thought about it. I was just like, okay, that was just like a gift that I gave to this person. And we're just going to leave it at that. And I tied my tie tighter so that it wouldn't happen again. And it has not happened again. I'm going to wear that same top again because I already washed my clothes, and I want to rewear that again because it's a really nice halter top to wear when skating. Anyway, so that was all four of my embarrassing stories for y'all that I could think of. And I will be sharing more throughout the duration of the podcast when I can think of them. Or if anything else comes up in my life that I consider embarrassing, I'll be making sure to let y'all know first and foremost. If you have any embarrassing stories that you'd like to share on the podcast, you could email me at theselfawaremillennial@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram at theselfawaremillennial. If you'd like to support J-Mix the Artist and J-Mix the Podcaster, you can join my Patreon at www.patreon.com/theselfawaremillennial. The Patreon has been evolving into a space where I can freely talk about anything and everything that has been going on with me artistically, because it changes day to day, y'all. As y'all know, I'm multifaceted. I roller skate, I make music, I sing, I dance, I draw, I do a lot. And it's so hard for me to just stick to one thing. And I think that's the problem with most of us as artists, is the ways in which we're able to market ourselves is like so limiting. And I'm trying to just dive into that a little bit more through my Patreon with the people that totally completely already understand like where I'm coming from on this. And what I'm going to be doing in the upcoming week is I'm going to be posting information about my upcoming singles that just came out. And I'm going to be discussing the lyrics and why I chose those lyrics. And I want to also discuss just the ways in which I'm not completely there as an artist just yet. Like, you think that all artists are just completely confident here always, you know, like, and that's not the case. I want to be, I could be as confident as I can in that moment, but there's always that self-doubt. And for me, like, that self-doubt always comes, like, it comes up very often. And it's funny because, like, I've had conversations with people and they were like, I would have never guessed that the way that you present yourself, the way that you carry yourself. And I'm like, yo, I have self-doubt pretty much every single other day. I don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. And so I'm trying to normalize that. And that'll be done through my Patreon. Please join it. Again, that's www.patreon.com/theselfawaremillennial, which I will also be dropping merch on there very soon. Sorry, I'm like really talking about my Patreon right now because I really am just so happy and proud of how far it has come since it premiered almost a year ago at this point. Almost a year ago. So yeah. All right, everybody. Well, y'all have a great week, and I will be back next week, hopefully, with another episode for y'all. The ways in which I'm able... Ooh, sorry. Before I end this, I know I keep saying I'm gonna leave, and then I have one more thing to say. The last thing I want to let y'all know is that the way in which I'm trying to maneuver through the next series of podcast episodes is going to be a little different than what I've been doing in the past. Normally, I do my podcast episodes a week out, and I would do it like once a week, record an episode once a week. But what I'm going to start doing is trying to do all of them in 1 week and then just release them all 1 week at a time so that I have more time to dedicate to my artistry and it's not just fully podcast based, if you know what I mean. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Self-Aware Millennial. I will see y'all next time. Bye.